Insight on Business the News Hour is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, helping you turn human resources into a profit zone rather than an expense. FocusandFind.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business the News Hour. Grateful you are listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to reside. With me are two individuals. We're going to be talking business and, well, wait and see. This is going to be fun. Sandy Yoder is in charge of the Iowa Jewish Historical Society. We'll find out why a woman by the name of Yoder is in charge of something Jewish, but we'll get to that in just a moment. And Susan Jellinger. Susan is the oral history assistant assigned with the Iowa Jewish Historical Society. We're going to be talking a lot about what it is that they do as a nonprofit, what it is they're doing with this oral history, and yes, there is a business component to this entire conversation. We'll start out with Sandy. Sandy, welcome to the Business News Hour. So nice to see you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, this is really an interesting thing. History plays such an important part in all of our lives, and not just because I enjoyed history in school, but continue to learn from history even today, because it's said that those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. What kinds of things does the Iowa Jewish Historical Society, what are you involved in and why?
What we're involved in is preserving and sharing the history of the Jewish people in Iowa. And the Jewish people of Iowa have lived in over 100 cities and towns in Iowa over the past several hundred years. The first permanent Jewish settler is recognized as being Alexander Levy. He came from Alsace and settled in the eastern part of the state. Like so many Jews who first came to Iowa, he was a peddler. He provided goods and services to some of the trappers and the other folks. In 1833, when Dubuque was founded, he set up shop. And from that, he grew his business into becoming one of the biggest department stores in the Midwest.
And that story is replicated all over the state of Iowa and other states as well, where peddlers then became merchants, then became owners of huge businesses. We would recall back in the day when Yonkers was the store in Des Moines, Iowa, founded by the descendants of Jewish peddlers.
Exactly. By five Yonker brothers who were Jewish. Yonkers was actually founded in Keokuk and then eventually came here to Des Moines and, as you said, became one of the biggest department store chains in the Midwest and still is, and yet so many people don't know its history. And here we save that history and we share it in our museum with folks from all across the state, literally across the nation, and now with all the online services across the world.
One of the things I think that would surprise many people, you just said how many communities were populated by Jewish immigrants back in the day, is the depth of Jewish relationship to the state of Iowa over the past 150 years. It's really amazing when you take a look at how many places out there within this state still have Jewish cemeteries, for example. And it is really, really startling. But many people don't know that. And so the Iowa Jewish Historical Society brings that to the fore, yes?
Yes, we do. We do online programming. We do other programs throughout the year. And we want to be able to preserve artifacts that show that entire history. We collect family memorabilia. We collect religious memorabilia. We collect the history of so many of the Jewish businesses that started. I mean, the entrepreneurship is still happening today. And we want that history to be shared. We also, of course, collect the history of the Holocaust and the survivors and the lives that they built, and in many cases, the businesses they built when they immigrated to this country. And the arts. There we have a collection of a Jewish ballet dancer, professional Jewish ballet dancer. We have some art that was done by different Jewish men and women within the state. So it's a very broad collection.
One of the names that comes to mind when you mentioned that was a guy by the name of Sam Arkoff. Sam Arkoff was a movie producer and created many of the B-roll movies that were very popular back in the day in the 1960s, originally out of Fort Dodge, Iowa, interestingly enough. Sandy, Yoder, I teased this when we first started. How does a girl by the name of Yoder become the Iowa Jewish Historical Society executive? What's that?
Well, when I started with the Iowa Jewish Historical Society, I was hired because of my background in museums. I've been working in museums my whole career. Colonial Williamsburg in Virginia. I was the director of the Stewart Museum of the Prairie Pioneer in Grand Island and Living History Farms. So I had the privilege of being hired here, and it's just been a wonderful learning experience ever since.
What are you learning?
I'm learning so much about, I too, like so many people, really did not know or understand the contributions of Jewish Iowans to the state or to the nation. You know, you mentioned a movie producer. Well, I'm not sure how many people really realize A.H. Blank was the Jewish entrepreneur. He was recognized internationally for his contributions to film, and then of course for the philanthropy, and that continued with his descendants and still continues today.
Blank Children's Hospital, Blank Park Zoo, and the
Blank IMAX Theater. So many things have carried that name, and they were the major contributors to the Iowa Holocaust Memorial. So, and then we also have like David Bellin. He was the one of the attorneys for the Warren Commission that investigated the assassination of President Kennedy. And that was just one small part of his career. We carry all their stories, but we also collect the stories of the shopkeepers who made Iowa, especially Des Moines, as well as from all the other cities, you know, a real life, everyday experience. So the Pickle Barrel, so many
and
of the other, Cohen's Meat Market, right? And Sioux City, and all of these, they're all a part of the history.
Her name is Sandy Yoder, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the Iowa Jewish Historical Society, and when I first came to Iowa in 1979, and immigrated here, by the way, and I had my green card. I was from Illinois. And so I came to Fort Dodge, Iowa, and on Main Street alone in Fort Dodge, Iowa, there were no less than 7 Jewish-owned businesses, 4 of which were men's haberdasheries. And, you know, it's fascinating, the background, when you realize the impact that so many of these individuals had on the economy of the state of Iowa and the nation. We're going to turn our attention over to Susan. Susan Jellinger is the oral history assistant. Susan, welcome to the Business News Hour. I think you must have the most fantastic job of anyone here because you're listening and videotaping the stories of people throughout Iowa.
Well, you have that exactly right. I am so honored and privileged to be a part of this enterprise. And I have listened to stories in Cedar Rapids, stories of some of the shopkeepers there. And one that got me was a time when a young man was speaking of, oh man, His best friend's mother was a shopkeeper, and she was something special. And he goes into this story that really is a story of making bridges and standing up for your rights. And the rights that they were standing up for weren't the rights of Jews, but the right that she was showing was the right for African Americans and the need for respect for every single human. So we have that on tape. We have recently, you were talking about the entrepreneurs in the business. Larry Engman, who's with EMCO, Lou Hurwitz, who's with Lamar Foods, and how they started. And we've got their stories and from their families. Blank, you were just talking about that with the movie business. And he also invented the popcorn machine.
Right.
And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and got that so that it was able to be, you know, bring more money into their business. So
I mean, if anybody's ever been to a movie theater, it's the price of the tickets that's cheap. The popcorn on the other side is what's making the money. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, that, getting that and getting that drink and everything. Yeah. So, and lots of stories of peddlers and moving up and people who were tinsmith or tinners and how then they got into sheet metal and manufacturing and how it just ballooned and ballooned. So we have lots of those stories. And then the thing that's the heart, I think a heart here is that people hear about those stories. Maybe they hear about a family and they come and they listen and they haven't heard their mother's voice or their grandmother or grandfather and get to see that. We also have students come here to be doing research, maybe for History Day, all sorts of things.
Yeah, it is a fascinating thing to be part of history, the collection of history, especially when you're doing it in video form so that people can actually see the people who are talking about whatever it happens to be as it relates to their experiences in a Jewish community, wherever they might be in the state of Iowa. Mm-hmm. When you talk to these folks who are sharing their stories, they're very personal stories, I would imagine, too. How much emotion is in those stories?
You know, it really varies. There are people who bring the tears to your eyes, and they have the tears in their eyes. And then there are some who are telling about things in their life that is so deep that they just kind of, it's not that they verbally not shut down, but, excuse me, they really make sure that they just get it across. And so they're almost stoic. That's the word I want. They're stoic. So it really ranges. But also you can see it in people's eyes. And that is one thing, as you said, having the video, because many of our recordings are just audio. But in these last, I don't know, 20 years, there's much more of them that are video. And you get to see that whole thing. You get to see an eye twitch. You get to see their eyes move away. They're kind of moving back from a little bit. So there's all those little nonverbal cues that let you know about the emotion.
Susan, you mentioned something about audio recordings. I'm familiar, of course, with your video recordings that you've been doing for several years. How far back do you go with audio recordings?
I think some of the earliest ones are from 1969.
Wow.
We have a lot that are from the 90s and early 2000s. There's been a range. Grinnell College collaborated with the Federation and did something called Toll Dot Iowa. And there are a couple hundred, I think, recordings there of Jewish elders that were done. Grinnell college students they got some minimal training on how to do interviewing. So there are some interviews that are really good and there are some that are not very good at all.
We got to practice someplace, right?
So it's a real range. We were talking about Yonkers. We have 8mm, now it's been digitized, so it's available more readily for people to see about some early retirements and of the first escalator in the state.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we have things besides the oral histories. We also have some tapes and videos of events that went on.
I think it's fascinating. Sandy, when we're talking about all of these things that are available out there for people, how do folks access this information? I mean, we are living in a digital world. I should suspect you have this much of this digitally, yes?
We have quite a bit. During the last about 6 or 7 years, through some grants from the State Historical Society of Iowa, their Historical Research Development Program, we've been able to digitize close to 300 to 400 of our oral history tapes. And as Susan said, some of them were in audio, some were videotapes, but we also had 6 or 7 other formats. I mean, everything from 8mm to 16mm films and things of that nature. We have a listing on our website of the ones that have been digitized and what we call documented. By that, we mean that Susan and some other staff and volunteers have gone through and listened to the tape, have summarized it, have pulled out the key words if someone's doing research. And that's listed on our website, which is ijhs.online. And someone can go there and look and then contact us, and we can make arrangements for them to listen to the tape, watch it if it's a videotape. And it can be done in different formats with all of the COVID restrictions.
Yes.
We, like everyone else, is finding new ways to share that material. People can also come to the museum. We're open by appointment and see the history in exhibits, but also listen to some of these tapes and to do research. We're a research facility as well.
Sandy Yoder, ladies and gentlemen, she is the director of the Iowa Jewish Historical Society. A couple of other questions that I might have about this. Is it just Jews that come to the museum to witness this, or people from other faith groups also, or people who are not affiliated?
Everyone comes. What we want to do is to engage people from all backgrounds to come and to listen and to learn and hear the history of the Jewish people in Iowa. When all of us listen and understand each other's backgrounds, we make a stronger society. And that's one of the goals of the Historical Society. So in many cases, people come and they had no idea about all of the contributions that Jewish Iowans have made. And it's interesting to hear their comments about, oh, I went to Davidson's Furniture when I was a child, or I had no idea that Dr. Dubansky was Jewish, or that Mary, the Kay Buxbaum was Jewish and won a swim medal at Roosevelt. And then it also leads into more in-depth discussions. Visitors ask us about what that means, and does it mean it was good that people didn't know that everyone was being accepted, or was it covering up something else?
Mm.
And a lot of our visitors really want to come and learn not only about Jewish history, the everyday lives and the contributions, but of course, the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some very unique items, we have what's called the Schindler Cup. The Karp family, Irvin, Phyllis, and Selena Karp were on Schindler's List. And after their survival, because of being on the list, they immigrated to Des Moines in 1947. And Selena is the only Schindler's List survivor to have gone to high school, graduated from North High School, graduated from Grinnell College. And her parents lived here in Des Moines for almost 50 years.
Mm.
So one of the things few people know about Schindler is that in order to provide for the people who he had saved, to give them something to start a new life with, something to barter with, he scrounged in his factory and gave everybody something to barter with. And in the case of the Karps, he gave them 2 bolts of cloth and 5 pairs of scissors. And they bartered these for transportation, for food, and mostly for Selena's education. Selena kept 1 pair of the scissors, And from our research so far, it may be the only pair of Schindler scissors still in existence.
Oh, wow.
We have those in our collection. Phyllis Karp kept the cup that all of the prisoners in Schindler's factory were given to use for food. And we have that Schindler cup. And she said, someone asked her why she kept that cup when it would remind her of all of the horrors of the Holocaust. And she said, when she sees it, she knows that there's a better day coming tomorrow.
Wow. Sandy Yoder, ladies and gentlemen, and Susan Jellinger, final question for you, Sandy, because this is a business show. We got to ask how you do all this. I mean, this is not cheap. You're on the payroll. Susan's on the payroll. We've got other people on the payroll. What's the business model for the Iowa Jewish Historical Society?
Well, we're a nonprofit. We're part of the Jewish Federation of Greater Des Moines, one of what are called the pillars, the different departments within it. And most of what we do is through the generosity of donors. Over the years, we have people who have established some funds that have helped us continue to staff. Mary Buxbaum Scanlon has been so instrumental, both in building, donating funds to build the wing we're in, and then to establishing a fund for the Iowa Jewish Historical Society. Every year we have people who become members, and we're always looking for more members. And we have a wonderful group of supporters who are helping us to do all of these special programs. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we also do an awful lot of grant writing and try and balance that so that we end up in the black every year and we can still do as much as we can possibly do. Most of our artifacts have been donated to us through the generosity of people within the state, and that has helped us build this collection. And we're still collecting. I mean, part of what our purpose is not only to collect the past, but to collect the present. That's why Susan's working so hard on collecting new oral history so that we can understand what's happening today. And we're also collecting modern things. I mean, today's things are going to be the history of tomorrow. And we don't just focus on the past. We want to collect the things that are happening today. We were mentioning Yonkers earlier. We actually have a piece of the building from Yonkers. When it burned, there was a small piece that came into our hands. So we have that, as well as more things that are more readily tell the story, with like oral histories, and we have some promotional brochures and things of that nature. But
you know, I think it's incredible the connections that we all make in this. This will also air on News Talk 1540 KXEL in Waterloo, where Jeff Stein happens to be the director of news, and his family is originally from Marshalltown. And I found that out by a visit to the Jewish Historical Society Museum, where you have a Yahrzeit plaque, or a plaque that was donated to that synagogue by Jeff's paternal grandfather, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. So it's really stunning when you start to look at all of these various places. Final question for you, Susan. What have you learned, Susan, as a member of the society who is doing these oral histories? What's been the biggest impact on your life?
When I first started listening to the stories 3 years ago, I was rather overwhelmed because I was listening to some early doctors and names that I knew in the community, and I also was listening to Holocaust survivors. I think, like many Americans, I know of the Holocaust. I've seen documentaries. Hearing people tell their stories and hearing of what they experienced was so overwhelming to me. I mean, there were times that winter where I deliberately wouldn't be wearing my big winter coat because I go, I don't need that. They survived through all this. Mm-hmm. So this became it was impacting my life in that way. I didn't get sick, so I was that was good.
Thank God.
But I think I've grown more understanding, and I think I feel more empathy for people who are going through really rough times and have made it. The resiliency of a community. Being out here, I've also seen the friendships that people have. I've heard the stories of friends and how friends help each other. And I also, you know, this is a business, you said, a business program. How deep and how broad and how so many business people, some people who never really made it big, but they just kept going on. The little grocery stores, the families that grew up with these little grocery stores all over the place. I think that's what I've learned.
Our guests have been Sandy Yoder and Susan Jellinger, both with the Iowa Jewish Historical Society. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Once again, those are the voices of Sandy Yoder and Susan Jellinger with the Iowa Jewish Historical Society. And yes, we do have links on the radio blog, so you can visit that and see what they're talking about as they gather this information about Jews from Iowa and across the Midwest. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for being with us, for all of us to put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For those folks and for Sandy and Susan, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.